sure are sorry them guys going to get their right eye gouged out. That ain't going to do no good.
That's right.
Low panty-waist Christians. Tell them something, they don't even get stirred up. Saul was out in the field, and he heard the people up there. They lifted up their voices. See, the Bible said they lifted them up. Wah! They was a hollering and a squalling. He was out there plowing, wringing their hands up there, hollering and a crying. He come out of the field with his father's oxen. He'd done been anointed. The anointing had come on him. He had a spirit. God could stir him up. And he said, "What aileth the people that they weep?" And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul. See, he had a spirit. The Holy Ghost could stir him up and use him. And his anger was kindled greatly. These little penny-waist Christians, you know, ticky-tacking around. I wouldn't ever get mad at nothing. I wouldn't care nobody popped me right in the teeth. I wouldn't get mad. Somebody robbed me. Wouldn't bother me. Fooey on that kind of mess. You can be a man even if you're a Christian. God wants you to be a man. If you suffer for righteousness, ain't happy, are you? Then go out here and suffer like a dunce. No way. His anger was kindled greatly. And who made him angry? The Holy Ghost came on him and made him angry. But he had to have a spirit that God could stir him up so he could get out and be a hero of faith. Faith will stir you up and make you angry. Apathy will make you fold your hands and say, "Well, ain't nothing you can do about it." That ain't the Spirit of God. That's being puny. He took a yoke of his oxen. He hewed them in pieces. He sent them throughout the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers. That was bloody, oh, terrible looking flesh. He just flayed them up and got him 12 men and said, "You take this and go out through the tribes of Israel and you warn every one of them that don't come after me. By the time the sun comes up, this is what I'm going to do to his oxen." And when he did that, the fear of God came on the other brethren that didn't have much courage. See, it always takes somebody. God can fire him up to excite others into making a stand and being heroic and not laying down like a coward and resting upon a little plea of, "Well, God will do it." God does it through you and I. God's got to stir our spirits up to resist the things that are wrong and evil. I know Jesus said, "Don't resist evil." That wasn't what he's talking about, wrong. Evil has another word. When I preached there a message a while back on the root of all evil, it's talking about adversity. God says, "Don't resist adversity." He didn't say, "Resist something wrong." You do resist something wrong. And these old panty-waist preachers, they preach the same old panty-waist stuff that people want to practice because they don't have any courage. Well, get you a spirit that God will fire it up and stir it up that you can resist the devil. And then that same spirit that will resist the devil will make you strong to submit to God. What's the use of submit to God if you're not going to do nothing? Submitting to God means the Holy Ghost can stir you up where you can get out here and fight the battles for God. Praise God. You got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not just lay around and hope and think maybe something will happen. But get out here and ask God to stir your spirit up. Like Paul the Apostle, praise God. The Holy Ghost stirred him up until he couldn't control himself any longer. He had to get out there and preach against those old monuments to an unknown God and all those other old images that were there that people had turned to away from God. He said, "The God that you serve ignorantly, I'm declaring him unto you." He knew he'd probably get beat or thrown in jail or maybe killed. That's why you got to have a spirit God can fire up that you don't worry about the results. You just go ahead and do it anyway. Paul had that kind of a spirit. He said in Romans 1:9, he said, "I serve God through my spirit." My spirit's fired up to serve the Lord. I don't sit down and wait for things to happen. Paul would make things happen. Praise God. Create some circumstances and make it happen. In this rebuilding of the temple we began with in the life of Ezra and Nehemiah, in Haggai, that's a little book over the back of the Old Testament, in the book of Haggai, or Haggai 1, verse 14, the Bible said, "The Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel,
governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. God stirred those people to work. You ain't never going to work a hoot for nobody but yourself until God stirs you up. When God stirs you up, then you're willing to work for God. And you don't have to get paid if it's not available. These people didn't get paid. God stirred them up. When God stirs you up, you don't have to work for money. Haggai had promised, prophesied to him one little verse of scripture. Verse 13 of Haggai 1. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. That's all he said. One little prophecy. If I'd go say that to some of you, you'd shake your head and walk off and say, I thought he's really going to tell me something. Most Christians wouldn't appreciate that. 99% would say, well, he ain't much of a prophet. You ain't kidding me. Everybody wants details. They want a map. They want it all detailed. Draw me where that treasure chest is. Don't tell me it's out in that field where I got to dig. I want you to put an X there right where the first shovel I push down will touch the lid of the treasure chest. Then I'll know you're a prophet of God. Yeah, I know it. Sit on that mess. I don't get no hoot about it, and I don't have no respect for people that think that way. I am with you, saith the Lord. And then the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel. He stirred up the spirit of Joshua and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, because they were stirred. And God didn't bring all them exiles back from Babylon. He brought the ones whose spirit he could stir up. Praise God. I tell you, I'd rather have a spirit God will stir anytime God always talking to me and telling me, oh, I've given you the city. Oh, I've given you Jamaica. Oh, I'm going to send you to California. And you're going to keep you're going to keep Los Angeles from falling in the sea. Such a mess as that. That's what all these big shot preachers and little old ladies creeping around. Every woman preacher I meet has always got some revelation. God gave me Jamaica somewhere. Well, if God's got Jamaica, he sure has made a mess out of it. Because it's a mess. And a lot of these cities where they tell you, oh, God told me to go to a certain city. He gave me the city. Why don't God just stir up their spirits and they can do it? If God's going to give you a city, he'll stir up your spirit and make you strong enough to take the city. God told Joshua he could take a city. Praise God. But he told him how to do it, didn't he? And he stirred up his spirit. Boy, you talk about a fellow on fire and fired up. He went out there and they crossed that river. Went out to look over the city. It seemed like he was alone. The fifth chapter of Joshua. He went out there and looked, and there was a man with a sword drawn. Great big fella. Big old angel. Looking out over that city. He was a fella that was going to push the walls down for him. Praise God. Old Joshua went up there and said, whose side you on, buddy? He said, he thought it, the way he said it, the angel thought that he was supposing him to be for Jericho. He was out there defending the city of Jericho. He said, nay, but as the captains of the Lord's host have I come. Pull your shoes off. You're on holy ground. He went on.